This morning we are wrapping up our series, our Christmas series. We've been doing a series called The Island of Misfit Toys. On the count of three, not a trick question, you will say the show that it comes from, the movie that it comes from. The Island of Misfit Toys comes from 1, 2, 3. All of you that said Elf, you were wrong, but it is the best Christmas movie ever. Next to Die Hard, yeah, absolutely. Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It comes from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's a group of toys that were misfigured, made wrong. They just looked weird. There's like a boat that can't stay afloat. There's a train that's got square wheels. My favorite is the Charlie in a box. And my second favorite is the gun that squirts jelly, which nobody needs, a water gun that squirts jelly, unless you're making a peanut butter jelly sandwich. And then that's a brilliant idea. How many of you have in your fridge right now squeezable jelly? Right. It's kind of the same concept. Some of y'all are like, no, we'll never squeeze my jelly. We spent the last month talking about how we're all misfits. Look at the person next to you very quickly. Don't say a word to them. Just look at them and notice how weird they are. All of us are misfits. We've talked about that. We've talked about how even though all of us are misfits, none of us are forgotten. And I love in the story of Rudolph that there's a king on the island. The Island of Misfit Toys has a king. His name is Moon Racer. That's a weird name. But he looks out for, watches over all the misfits. He actually goes throughout the earth looking for misfit toys so that he can bring them to the island. We've talked a lot about that. But this morning, I want you to know this. Today, 3 days before Christmas, we are getting off the island. Some of you are excited. Some of you are not sure. We're getting off the island, but if we're not careful, we're going to fall into the same trap that thousands of believers have fallen into over the years. We will end up staying on the island, talking to each other about all the great things that our King has done, and we will never get off the island and begin to tell other people about the great things that our King has done. Y'all, it's time to get off the island. We're saved so that we can be sent. I love what King Moonracer said to Rudolph. I'm going to quote it for you. Rudolph and Hermie, he was the elf that wanted to be a dentist. They asked the king, can we stay here on the Island of Misfit Toys? And this is what the king said. No, that would not be possible. You see, this island is for toys alone. Unlike playthings, a living creature cannot hide himself on an island. But perhaps, being misfits yourself, you might help the toys here. The point is that you and I cannot hide. We have to get off the island. We have to share with other people who are also misfits that there's a king that can help them find their place. We tell the story of a king who brought purpose to our pain. Now, this is a hard time for people. There are some people in the room that this is not as merry a season as we wish it was. And he can bring purpose even to that pain. He wants to do that for misfits everywhere. We go and we tell the story of a king who brought purpose to our pain. We tell the story of a king who came, like we just saw, to a place that we never would have expected. Why does God choose misfits anyway? I have no idea. I don't know why he chose to dork it the way that he did. I don't know why he came to a stable that smelled like poop. I don't know why he didn't go to a palace. I listen to that song, Strange Way to Save the World, and I think, why me? And don't we all have the same story? Why would he choose to use us? And yet, he does. I ran across a story this week. If we could throw that headline up on the screen, please. Friend gets called out for white elephant gift that was significantly under the spending criteria. When I read the article, here's what it said. There was a friend group. They got together. They had a Christmas party. And y'all do white elephant? Maybe you call it Dirty Santa. I don't. What else can you call it? Is that it? Gift exchange. I'm sorry, what? Can we edit that part out? Thus ends the part of crowd participation. It's when you bring a gift. Everybody puts the gift in the middle. You get a number. You can pick a gift, and then it can be stolen from you. And depending on what family you go to, please make sure you understand the rules before you play, because it can get violent, right? Sometimes couples work together to get the gift that they really want. Anyway, this one lady, she comes to this party, and she brings a gift. She puts it in the middle, and when the person opened it, because this is in the story, they said, "I opened the gift because of how it was wrapped. It looked really, really expensive." And she opened it up, and it was a hot chocolate set. Okay, I like hot chocolate. Let this be a lesson, by the way, not preaching on it, but we have an enemy who loves to make like junk look really good. Sometimes we open things because they look really good and we're a little disappointed. So this person gets the hot chocolate kit, and then the lady that brought the hot chocolate kit, the lady that was the headline is about, she went home with a Keurig. And I was reading Wendy this story, and the lady who reported her on Reddit actually said, I didn't want to cause any problems, so instead of confronting her directly, I just sent a message to our group chat. Bad idea there, right? So the lady walked out with, she brought a hot chocolate set, she walked away with the Keurig, and she got kicked out of the friend group. It is terrible. But people chose the side of the person who said she should never have done that. And it's because the world doesn't know what to do with grace. We don't know what to do with misfits. Well, we think we do. We lock them away on an island, but then there's a king that says, "I still find value in that, and I'm actually going to do more in their life than they could ever have done for themselves." And I just want to prepare you that as you get off the island, as you go and tell people what your king has done for you, they're not all going to get it. Some of them are going to say, like this woman, "That's not fair. You did nothing to deserve that. And look at all the things that I've done in my life. And if God's going to choose somebody, he should choose me." What I want you to know is that the king's ways, Bridget's already said this, are higher than ours. Isaiah 55:8 says that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. I'm so glad that God has a plan that's bigger than me, more than I can understand. Psalm 145:4 talks about how we are to proclaim what he has done from one generation to the next. I want us to be like Mary, who was a misfit, a teenage woman, pregnant, not married. And her response to the plan of God was, "Let it be to me according to your word. What you said, God, I have no clue how you're going to pull it off, but my answer to you is yes." I want us to be like the shepherds. We just saw it perfectly illustrated during that song. Luke chapter 2, verse 15. This is what the shepherds did. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened." Anybody here an English teacher? Don't have to raise your hand. I'm not going to call you to the platform. But I was told, like, I do a lot of writing, and I was coached, like, never use thing, right? We love that word thing. You're supposed to come up with a more descriptive word. And so the angels just received the greatest message ever given to humanity. And they described it as, "Let's go see if this thing has happened." Listen, we don't understand the plan of God. We spend a lot of time in church, going to classes, reading Bibles, doing devotionals, trying to figure God out. And here's what I want you to know today. Our job is not to explain his ways. Our job is just to proclaim them. We proclaim what he has done. And people look at us like, "What?" And we get all trapped trying to explain to people the unexplainable. It will never make sense. The story of Christmas will never make sense. But it makes all the difference in the world. So come, let us behold him. And we're going to spend time this morning at the end of this service in worship. We flipped it a little bit, right? All the choir stuff at the beginning, I'm preaching, and then we're going to worship because I want us to worship the King. And then I want us to leave so that we can proclaim Him. You have a job, y'all. It's not just a preacher's job. We have a job. As followers of Jesus, between now and 2 days from now, to tell people, come and see. Do what the shepherds did. Hey, let's go see this thing. It's a candlelight service. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I think it's going to be kind of cool. Let's go see. Let's check it out. You want to bring people to that so that we can present the gospel to them. There's nothing we would want more on a Christmas Eve service than to see people come to know their King. And you'll hear this from me this morning. You'll hear it from me Tuesday night. You'll see it from me on social media all week long. Let me just tell you this, that He was a baby once, but He's a King forever. And He is coming again. And our job is to prepare people to receive that. So choir, worship band, come. Let's go ahead and get ready. Church, I want to invite you to come and behold Him. Come and behold Christ our Lord. But when we're finished with worship this morning, can we go tell it on the mountain? I say this story all the time because I love it so much. Pastor Bridget and I had the honor of being up the street at Central United Methodist Church every other Wednesday. We get to help lead a service for adults with special needs from GHA, Monarch, Covenant. It's packed. It's like this is a packed service. We'll have like 60, 70 people up there, and I love it. And one of the clients that used to come, I haven't seen him as much lately, but one of the clients that used to come, at the end of that service, the lady that plays the piano always does go tell it on the mountain. Always. How many times? Always. And the reason she does it always is because when we started doing Go Tell It on the Mountain at Christmas time, we would notice that sitting at the back of the room, somewhere in this section, was a client who absolutely did not pay attention the entire time. Like, he just looked zoned out. But the minute we sang Go Tell It on the Mountain, he would stand up, smile, and just... And we were like, dude likes this song. So we started doing it every week, even in the summertime, right? When it's hot outside, you're not thinking about Christmas, because we would tell them, like, this is our job. We're supposed to go tell it on the mountain. We found out a little bit later that he didn't really like the song. He just knew that was the last song and it was over. But it's okay. For the purpose of this morning, he loved that song. And I want you to worship this morning. I want you to worship and behold your King. Y'all, He came to the island to redeem us. But now that He's redeemed us, after we worship Him and we leave this morning, listen, this is the week that we should be telling everybody that we can what really happened on the island of Misfit Toys. And here's your testimony if you don't know how to say it. He found me. I had no hope. I didn't know where I fit. And I don't know how Jesus does this, but the King finds misfits, and He perfectly fits them in the places that He wants them to go. That's the King that we worship this morning. Would you stand this morning as we get ready to worship?